everyone. Welcome to the Mirror Disciple Podcast. This is Pastor Jeff Strong, and I'm broadcasting from a beautiful sunny Nelson, BC today. And this is a podcast for those interested in learning what it means to follow Jesus in the modern world. We're looking at discipleship and followership of Jesus and different ideas and strategies and practices that help us pursue God fully and faithfully. And today I'm really excited to, I guess I'm being introduced as well, but introduce you guys to Megan Beck, who is a registered clinical therapist with Mercy Seat Ministries. Megan, do you want to say hi?
Hi. Nice to be on with you and nice to finally talk to you face to face, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a few exchanges via email, but this is, we're kind of quote unquote meeting and seeing each other at the same time live over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan, you are a registered clinical counselor with Mercy Seat Ministry, and I don't want to sort of bury the lead. I want to jump right into your story and the vision and mission of Mercy Seat Ministry, because I'm kind of new to Mercy Seat Ministry. I found out about it a few months ago, but it's already become sort of a resource that I have as part of my repertoire of learning personally and also nudging people towards. And that's really what I'd like to accomplish in this interview, is just introduce you and the ministry of Mercy Seat and why Christians should kind of take note. Maybe we could start with just kind of who and what is Mercy Seat Ministry, and tell us a bit about your role there.
Okay. So thank you. I'm glad that you've got connected to Mercy Seat and kind of the resources that we have. Mercy Seat's ministry was founded and kind of started by Lisa DeVries. She's kind of the founder and kind of spearhead of Mercy Seat. And it was kind of her passion and her desire to bring together psychological expertise and care and that kind of thing with faith as well, like a discipleship and that kind of thing. And so I think her vision was to be like, if we have faith in God and we believe God is in and above all things, why would we not have him in a counseling session? So it was this birth of this, what we call a faith integrated counseling approach, where we really desire to assist people towards healing, victory, and freedom in Christ. So the idea is that we provide integrated psychological care along with Christian discipleship. So really welcoming, you know, our faith and the questions and the Bible and scripture reading and prayer and worship into a counseling session. And that's kind of the basis of it, of kind of what we try to incorporate and allow the Holy Spirit to really use and work in that arena.
Yeah, that's awesome. Most of the people listening who know me will know that I did my undergrad in honor psychology and then went on to study theology at seminary. And so it's a little bit in my bones to be grappling with the integration of those, both of those perspectives. And I've been really blessed to learn under and learn with, learn from people who are really attempting, you know, to your point, kind of a faith integrative approach. But I'm wondering if you could maybe explain a little bit more in terms of what that looks like, because I think maybe we have, we Christians might come to this with two perspectives. One is that counseling is essentially a psychological process where, not intentionally, but we do sort of marginalize or sideline our faith and we talk about things through a psychological lens, or it is a, maybe the other extreme might be understood as, well, is this going to be sort of like a one-on-one Bible study? where it's essentially theology. And so I hear you kind of saying a faith integrative approach is trying to leverage the strength of both theology and psychology. But can you share a little bit about what that looks like?
Yeah. So I think when we come into our experiences in life and hit up against, you know, anxiety, depression, trauma, right? They are a part of our human experience. But at the same time, God and our faith is a part of our human experience. And so to better understand how they work kind of in tandem, and they can work in tandem, is to see them and work with them together, right? So, you know, from a Christian perspective, the idea of, you know, that who we believe God to be, the promises he holds to be true, those kinds of things become narratives that we live our life by, along with a lot of other narratives that we have, right? We have our family narrative, cultural narrative, religious narratives, right? And then we have our Jesus narrative. And to try to align them together to allow God to spearhead and kind of be that driving force, it brings it all together. And so our lives as human beings are made up of stories. You know, our grandparents told us stories. We hear Bible stories, right? There's the cultural stories. And to try to understand our world through stories, but then also through the lens of truth, because sometimes those stories aren't always factual. Right. They're based on feelings or based on the meaning that we make from our experiences. And so trying to help individuals along their journey of looking at it from that lens of truth and fact as that driving force.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think that's really well said. I mean, I think that's maybe a weakness that we don't fully appreciate with any kind of therapeutic or counseling relationship that when we're entering into one as a Christian, where if we are exploring the psychological dimension, however well-intended, if we neglect any theological dimension, then we obviously run the risk of, you're right, living into a story, living into a narrative that might actually feel very real to us.
Mm-hmm.
But without kind of that grounding in scripture to kind of course correct and lens correct, we can actually stay stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think from a psychological standpoint, we can create and develop a lot of tools in our toolkit to kind of help us cope with or handle or manage anxiety, depression, work through, you know, trauma or the gamut of things. And so we want to help kind of develop tools for your toolkit. But I also kind of think God's our biggest tool in our toolkit, to be perfectly honest. And so if we can, adopt that and add that layer of truth to it, it adds another dimension and strength to it that can really be a beautiful, beautiful thing.
And I think most people intuitively want a process and a context where they can talk through their whatever challenges they're facing externally or internally, and they want to be able to bring their faith to bear. But often if they, what I hear is if people do go to quote unquote regular or secular, even if they're kind of spiritually sensitive, which I think obviously a lot of therapists and counselors are, there's a different dynamic when you do feel like you either should be, or just unconsciously, you are a little bit more hesitant to just be as open as you might normally want to be. Something might roll off the tongue where you might say, yeah, I've really been, you know, kind of praying through these issues in my life, but maybe I hold that back from my counselor if I understand that they don't share that heart commitment to God and faith in the Jesus. And so this kind of integrative approach allows us ideally to be fully honest regarding our emotions and the psychological dimensions of what we're going through, mm-hmm. and also be completely honest about how we see that being informed by and impacting mm-hmm. our walk with God, which I think a lot of people want, but I think it's hard to find context to be able to share openly across all of those dimensions.
Right. And I think at Mercy Seat, we welcome that. We come with this bias towards our belief, you know, our core beliefs of, you know, who God is. And we come with that bias of we are going to bring this. We are going to bring scripture into this. We are going to bring worship and, you know, and prayer and that kind of thing. So it's very upfront at the beginning, right? There's no hiding that. This is very much what we come with. And so I think you're right. I think that does help, because then people know upfront, oh, this is welcome, and this is what's going to transpire.
Oh yeah. So encouraged by that. I think that's so, so good. You mentioned a few sort of big, broadly speaking, challenges and issues that we're sensitized to, I think, because of the news, because of our own experience. If we're keeping our eyes and ears open, we know that things like depression and anxiety and trauma is something that informs probably way more lives than we would have been aware of a generation, certainly two generations ago. And as that awareness is increased, as we have, you know, the mental health days and mental health awareness and different movements to kind of attempt to normalize the process of asking for help, I know that even though I had an undergrad in psychology, and these were waters and concepts and processes that I was personally quite comfortable with, there have been times in my life as a Christian, as a pastor, where I've probably thought, yeah, it'd probably be good for me to talk to someone. And yet I've still hesitated. There's still been a hesitancy. And I'm wondering if you can speak to some of those hesitancies in the sense of, what are some of the barriers for the average Christian wanting to live into the fullness of what God has called them to be and to do? And they want to be healthy and whole in Christ. They want to experience that healing and freedom that you spoke to, but something, you know, what are some of those barriers that create the hesitancy to even make the first step of reaching out?
Right. Well, I think I want to be clear that I the things that I'm going to speak on now, I think are across the board, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not. Mm-hmm. And so I recognize that for many people, taking that step of going, I think I might need some counseling, or I might need some support in this, can be difficult, because it's very scary, because you are taking a step of vulnerability, of going, I might need help. And I think as human beings, we've been conditioned sometimes to consider or believe that if I have to ask for help, that means I'm weak, or that I can't do it on my own, or, you know, I don't have, you know, enough faith.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder for some Christians, it could look like sort of a dualistic sense of, well, if I was really walking closely with God, God would be my source and my strength and my refuge. And what they interpret that to mean is I would really have no need for human support, of kind of that horizontal support. I would be getting it all from God. And if you understand that, which I think is a distortion, but if you understand that in that way, then even admitting that you would like supports from another person can mm-hmm. feel like an admission of failure or weakness or mm-hmm. a bit of a tell that you're not fully drawing upon God. So there can be some, if we have a distorted theology or a narrative mm-hmm. of what drawing strength from God mm-hmm. can only look like, that can also keep us in a bit of a cage and a bit of a shame spiral.
Right. And I think what happens too is that we can get, well, as individuals, when we are going through a struggle or, you know, a difficult time or painful time, we can get tunnel vision where we only see what's right in front of us. It's like blinders on like the horses, right? On the horse's bridle. Like we can't see the bigger picture, or we have a hard time seeing different perspectives. And I think that happens for a lot of people. I know it's happened for me. And so I've had opportunities where other people have spoken truth into my life because I had a hard time seeing that. And I really see counseling as that, helping to broaden that perspective or to help take those blinders off slowly, depending on the situation, mm-hmm. but be that objective viewpoint, because as a counselor, I'm not emotionally connected to your struggle and to your pain. So I look at it, and I can look at it from a different degree and angle than sometimes the person in that struggle or pain, because they've got those blinders on. And so I think that's where it can be super helpful, is that sometimes we just keep doing what we think is the right thing over and over and over, and it's just not working, and we get stuck, and we get stuck in that shame cycle, and we get stuck in what's wrong with me, when there's not anything wrong with you. It's just that you just keep doing the same thing. But what if we looked at it from a different, what if we peeled back the layers and looked at it from different advantage points and from different perspectives, and spoke truth that way and help broaden it? And that's where sometimes we do need help, right? Sometimes that's where counseling can be helpful, because you're bringing in somebody from the outside that doesn't have that emotional connection to whatever's happening for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fascinating. I think obviously you're speaking from your own therapeutic experience, but that it's really hard to stand outside of your own frame of reference and be able mm-hmm. to analyze it, in a sense, up in the corner of the room and looking down and being able to get that perspective. But it's even more so during heightened times of mm-hmm. Stress and hardship, because you're like you said, your world does really shrink and you kind of go into a survival mode, mm-hmm. which means I follow the path of least resistance, which means I'm doubling down likely into patterns that weren't helping me at the best of times. And again, now I'm relying on them, but I feel like I'm floundering. And to have someone come along and to say, just introduce a new angle is, mm-hmm. I've experienced it to be kind of startlingly powerful. Mm-hmm. They say something to you, you read an insight, you get an insight. My therapist might offer an insight, and right when it's offered, it lands right away, and I can just mm-hmm. feel the truth of it. Mm-hmm. And on one level, it feels like it was right at the edge of my awareness and consciousness. And it wasn't anything radically complex that I, on one level, couldn't figure out, but I just couldn't get into, like you said, these blinders, this limited perspective. And it did require someone who's standing on the outside of my regular life to be mm-hmm. able to just offer perspective, and then bam, huge breakthrough,
right.
Which is startling to me, because I might have said, hey, I've been investing all this time to try and grow in self-awareness, but just sitting down with someone who mm-hmm. could offer that perspective was a tipping point.
Right. But it takes vulnerability, and vulnerability is scary, right? It's that idea of opening ourselves up to allowing somebody to see all the parts of us and not knowing what's going to come back, right? And in counseling, I think we have the counselors have the ability, and we should always have that non-judgmental approach where you can come and lay it bare and wrestle with it, and I will wrestle with it with you. And, you know, and that's the beauty of what counseling has to offer, is that you can take those steps. It can be scary, but you can know, especially with, you know, with Mercy Seat counselors, that there is no judgment. Counselors are not supposed to be judgmental anyway, but just that idea of like, let's wrestle with this together. Let's grind it out. Let's ask the hard questions. Let's, you know, sit and listen to God and kind of look at it from that lens too. And so hugely powerful, but also very scary at the same time. And so whenever I have, you know, clients coming, I always validate that, of like, I recognize that first step is always the hardest to take. And, you know, it's a beautiful one if they're willing to step into that.
Yeah. I think it's one major paradigm shift that changes the whole understanding of what kind of person, avails himself of counseling resources, right? I mean, I think maybe let's say the old distorted perception was, well, I don't want to go to counseling or therapy because I'm fine. I can deal with things. I'm strong. And going to those things, again, is a tell that I'm actually weak and I lack something important. I'm not independent or autonomous or self-reliant in the way that I think that I should be. And yet, I think there's been such a good shift in recognizing just how much courage it takes to even do that initial reaching out, to show up for that first session, and there's kind of two lines of vulnerability, right? Like I hear you saying the vulnerability of sharing, obviously, with another human being, you know, face to face or over, you know, Zoom or however, whatever the delivery vehicle is. Mm-hmm. But there's also just the vulnerability of pausing, and it's not just about sharing with the other person. It's just kind of acknowledging out loud that this is a massive challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely twofold for sure.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other barriers that kind of spring to mind for you in terms of out of your own therapeutic experience that you would want to speak to for, maybe I'm thinking specifically of the person who has danced with the idea of getting support, investigating, but they've just never done it. Like, I would wonder, like, I know for me, it was an issue of, well, I don't know if I want to spend the money. You know, if I don't go, it's a money. Like, I kind of got, I would say now I kind of fell into that trap of thinking I will save money or somehow it will be a better investment if I don't spend that way. I don't know if you want to speak to that or just another barrier that you encounter often.
I think the interesting thing with that, right, of like, oh, well, I can, you know, save the money or, you know, oh, I can do it on my own. And I'm always reminded, I think I've seen, I don't know if it was something on social media or what, but, you know, somebody said, if you go to a doctor because your arm is broken, you know, you're not going to just try to fix it yourself. You're going to go to a doctor and get that help and support. Why is our mental health any different? Mm. Right. But I do acknowledge that, you know, counseling is not cheap. and that can be hard. And some people don't have the extended benefits. But for the people that I have met who continue to come for counseling, they have taken that step because it works and it's helpful and there goes that to me is worth the money that I spend. I can't, you know, counseling is not for people who are not ready and willing. It has to be a voluntary thing. You have to be ready to do it. you know, when I get parents asking, you know, oh, can my son, you know, son or daughter come to see you? I will always ask, does your child want it?
Right.
If your child doesn't want it, it's not going to be helpful, because we just hit that wall of like, I don't want this. And I think the heart of the person needs to be ready and willing. And when they are, and you've kind of hit that rock bottom, and all you can do is look up, at that point you go, maybe it's worth it. I can't refute that it's expensive, but in the long term, all of the fighting and the resistance that it creates, and maybe even the more emotional pain that creates, or then even physical pain, because there's been a lot more research that has come out around how our emotional and physical bodies are connected. Mm-hmm. And, you know, different physical ailments and medical issues can be a result of stress, you know, trauma and that kind of thing. I think it's worth it. And everybody that I've talked to so far has said, yep, it is worth it. And I wouldn't change it for the world. And because I needed the extra help. And really, when that person knows in their heart they're ready, they know, and they'll step into that. And until they're ready, there's not much we can do.
You know, that's a good word. And I would certainly be one of those people who would be saying, with a boldness that I wouldn't have had a number of years ago, like, if you're ready and you're hungry and you're willing to courageously bring these things to God, in the context of quality therapy and counseling, it will absolutely be worth it. I mean, I just think in my own life of different places where spending months and probably in some cases years trying to avoid therapy to quote unquote save money or maybe save time, or it doesn't work in my schedule right now, or I don't think it does, and I'm reading books and doing different things and relying on conversations with other pastoral colleagues or friends that I know. But still staying stuck and still staying in that limited perspective. And like you said, the pain and the friction and the frustration and just the feeling of stuckness that you sort of settle into after a while. I've had the experience of in one session, how not like it's a magic bullet, but in one session, leaving that session and feeling like, I mean, the sky is a different shade of blue. I mean, I really see things differently, and it makes such a massive impact. There's just such a huge relief and release. And then to compound that over 2, 3, 6, 10 sessions, I'd definitely be one of those people who would say, if you're hesitating, but you're ready, you know, it's an investment, but it is one that will pay off in ways that you can't even anticipate at this point.
Hard work, right? Like you said, it's not a magic bullet, and it's not, you know, a one and done. I tell a lot of clients, I wish I could flip a switch for you, like a light switch, and all of a sudden it's better, right? But that's not usually how it works, because we come with a lot of, you know, pain and a lot of, you know, narratives and a lot of different things that we really have to work through to get to the root of what's, you know, really going on. I think, you know, there's sometimes people come in and it appears that they might want that band-aid fix of like this, and, you know, they keep coming and then they realize, oh, maybe I need to go at the root of it as opposed to just putting a band-aid over, you know, the anxiety or whatever. And so trying to get to the root, it does take time and it does take effort on the person's part. It isn't a magic bullet at all, but it's definitely worth the investment for sure.
So Megan, I'm thinking of the person who's listening to this, and maybe they've heard enough that there is a prompting on their heart and they're like, oh, this is the little push that I've needed. I've been on the fence, or I've been even meaning to reach out somewhere, but again, I didn't know. It was certainly in our area, finding really skilled faith integrated therapists are is challenging for people. What's the first step to take if someone is interested in arranging a session with someone from Mercy Seat Ministries? Is it even possible to do that? I mean, you guys are located on the coast. You guys do stuff through Zoom. What's the process for someone who says, this is, I don't know if maybe Mercy Seat Ministry and their way of doing things, I don't know if it'll, you know, long-term work out for me, but I want to start there. Like, I've heard Megan, I've heard this approach, and I've heard enough to say, this is the kind of thing that I think could be helpful to me. Can they reach out to you? How do they do that? How does it work?
Sure. So we have a website. It's mercyseatministry.ca. Right there on our website, there's a help request form button. You can click that. You can kind of give all your information, kind of what you might be looking for. With Mercy Seat, we have currently there's four of us counselors, and we provide in-person. Yes, we are in kind of the Fraser Valley, Chilliwack, Abbotsford, and Langley. However, we do use online platform as well. And so we can do sessions with people that are outside of our area, right? So Nelson, that kind of area, if people are comfortable with that. So COVID has created the opportunity for counseling to be broader, I think, in the sense of now we can do this video or via online and connect with people outside of maybe our city or town. And so there's profiles on there of each one of us, so you can read up on all of us, see if there's somebody that resonates with you, what they have to say, that kind of thing, and then you kind of start a conversation with what you'd like. As well, if you're just not quite sure yet, right, because I hear that, Mercy Seat has decided to go on the social media. So you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. And through our website, we have a blog that we just started this year with the hopes of writing different articles on different topics and things like that that could minister to people kind of wherever they're at. Try to shed light into this dark space that we're in right now. And so there's that option to take a look at our blog, see the different, we all write one and every week the new one comes out. So they're all from all of us, different therapists. So that would be your best bet. Check us out on our website, hit that help request form, fill it out to the best of your ability, and then we start dialogue at that point.
Yeah, that's great. And I really want to commend that blog to people. I mean, I've put many posts over the last few months from that blog into our church kind of discipleship newsletter that goes out. And I think if you read 2, 3, 4 articles there, you're really going to get a sense of that flavor of what a faith-integrated approach to approaching these issues will look like. You're going to see some rich, meaningful theological reflection paired with some really helpful psychological insights. And so I think that's a great place to begin exploring as well.
Yeah.
Megan, thank you so much for being a part of this and for sharing. I mean, I'm really excited that I've happened upon Mercy Seat Ministry, and that I'm learning more about it, meeting you and being able to direct people towards your blog and your services. And I think just a huge amount of wisdom and gifting and talent there. I really hope people will take up the challenge of recognizing the importance of, like you said, taking care of their mental health. And while there's no magic bullet in that, having a skilled Christian therapist for some people is just a huge, huge support that, again, I would be so bold as to say can have an impact in your life that is very difficult for you to anticipate on the near side of actually going through the process. On the far side, I can certainly testify to how important that is, but I just can't recommend checking you guys out enough.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I know that, you know, God is at work and moving in the hearts of people to draw them closer to Him and draw them into who He's designed and created them to be. And that really is our passion and our desire to walk alongside individuals in that journey. So I thank you. I thank you for falling in fine with Mercy Seat and being willing to share that because, yeah, God is good and He's with us and He's our biggest tool in our toolkit.
Good. Well, thanks again, Megan, so much.